the recording now. Welcome to the 5G use case meeting for December 12th. We are just gathering here. So Bob is on the call, Jimin, Oscar, Borislav. Okay, so let me just first ask if does anybody want to make any presentations or does anybody want to talk about anything specifically? Anything anybody wants to share first on any of the use cases? Anyone? Going once, twice? Okay, in that case, let's dive into some of our basic topics then. If we look at the next release planning, January, by the way, it got moved out, it got pushed out. So January 21st is the first M2 deadline, which is our next, deadline. And I think it would probably be a good idea to, update this section of the page here. And let's take a look at the recent planning page real quick. You'll see that it was January 14th, so they moved it out by a week recently. So it's now January 24th. Oops, January 21st, sorry. January 21st. Yeah, January 21st is the M2, M3 deadline. And if we look at what's in M2, let's take a quick look at what we need to do at M2. So, and M3, these are the things that happen in M2 and M3. So all these, I think, are good now. Yeah, okay. Oops. Let me just delete all this. Okay, so M2. I think we still probably can't ignore documentation as we push that out from the previous thing. So let me just move that up. Okay, that's what happens at the M2 milestone, M3, data model freeze. So let's just read through it real quick. I think we'll start with M2 here. So M2 functionality freeze, no new visible functionalities to be added to the current ONAP release. Each project team or use case team has defined and documented their functional test cases. The vendor equipment has been vendor equipment has been delivered. A stable document describing the API is documented and available on the wiki. The base set of impacts to the VNF projects requirements identified by each use case and project is done and specified in the M3 milestone, which is the API data model and data model freeze. Marks the end of the API and data model changes. API and data models are not frozen. And any changes to the API must be brought to the knowledge of TSC for review and approval, and half of the functional test cases have been automated. So I think to that end, I'm not sure what new stuff on our wiki pages necessarily need to be updated. Probably maybe API and data model If there are any API and data model stuff you might need to update in your wiki page. And you should be starting to think about documentation. And that's kind of right around the corner, because I expect a lot of people will be on vacation here coming up in the next couple of weeks. So I don't expect us to have a call next week or until January, actually. So, okay. But those are the things we need to start thinking about and adding to our wiki pages if you haven't already done so. All right. Okay, so we had the PlugFest. I thought it went quite well. It was held Thursday, December 5th in the Rutgers Wind Lab in Brunswick, New Jersey. Let me put a link.
Thank you again for arranging and, you know, like all of the presenters as well. It was really good.
Yeah, I thought everything went really smoothly and all the presentations are great and everything was fantastic. So I'm going to just copy this here for people who didn't get a chance to attend. Okay. So the official wiki site was here, and the recording of the whole entire 2.5 hour, whatever thing, all the demos, all the presentations, all the everything that was recorded is available here. So you can just go to this page and all the discussion and everything is here. I think Tracy was asking us to upload stuff, and I think we've already uploaded stuff to various pages. So I think maybe I have an email out to her. I haven't heard back yet. But she said to upload stuff, and I had already uploaded stuff to various pages, but I said this, she said, she sort of hinted that you should upload here, but it didn't really seem like this download is just these files. The audio only, and et cetera, MP4, W4A. So maybe I'm asking her if there's somewhere else we should upload. And she had already gathered all the presentations and stuff, and they're not here though, last I checked. So let me take a quick look again. I don't think they were here. So I'm not sure exactly, but I'll try to find out. Okay. And I would just suggest you just upload to your page. So if that's probably the best place to put it anyway, right? Too many pages open. So, but like for example, I uploaded all my slides and pre-recorded recordings to the plugin pay page. So, for example, you can find it here in the demos. Where is it? Here. So this is the December 5th Oran ONAP PlugFest demo, that the pre-recording for that and the slides I presented. I mean, this is generally where people are going to look anyway. So that's probably the place where it belongs anyhow. And other places, you probably point to that place. okay. Okay. Let's see. So for the runtime, I should probably move this down. This is not a huge crucial topic here. I'm just going to move this to the bottom. There was a during planning in this release table, There were a lot of our use cases, what we would call use cases, were called requirements, and which I felt was a little weird. And at that point, when I raised the question in the TSC, I said, you have one use case and you have like 50 requirements, but we call all these use cases, well, what you're calling requirements, use cases. And why is that? It seems really strange. I never got a really good answer actually for that. But anyway, time has passed and we're now into, that was pre-M0, now we're in M2. So the runtime config DB tomorrow, there'll be a meeting to continue on the project proposal. So we're looking at runtime DB to be its own project. I've been working through the project proposal, the description of it, what's its scope, architectural tie-in, and its basic operation, basic concepts and how it works and everything. So that will be for R7 though. In R6, we're going to be, for R6, it'll be a part of, we've determined it will be a part of CC SDK. We've met with Dan Timoney and Yuri. We've met with Yuri and Dan Timoney, and they've approved our approach basically, and actually sort of suggested it. So it wouldn't be a separate component in R6, but rather as part of CC SDK. So I think that'll be good. Network slicing, we have Borislav on the call.
Hey, yeah.
So where are we with I think last we were trying to merge the two proposals, right? I guess trying to figure out what to do with two separate proposals, one from Amdocs, one from, so is it CMCC? And we gave
Well,
presentations for that, right?
yeah, those two are actually merged for some time. It was not really an Amdocs proposal, but more vPro with AT&T, in which Amdocs participates. So now we're discussing the modeling aspects and what is exactly the scenario, how we represent the CSI, NSI, NSSI, and what is the NSMF and NSSMF, those kind of things, how to implement them in SO, and how to communicate with the external domain NSSMF. So hopefully by Monday we'll be able to come to an agreement. And you're welcome to join our meetings. I think now it's more or less official. At least we have an on-up Zoom available.
Oh, great.
So you can join our weekly meetings. And last time, by the way,
Hold on. So
Vimal,
the weekly meetings, let me see. Oops. What's going on here? Did you get it in the calendar? Is it in the calendar?
I'm not sure whether it's in the calendar, but I can, if you put an action item on me, I'll put post there a link to the weekly Zoom meeting.
When is it?
It's on a Monday at, well, now the difficult part, it's at
This one?
1:30 afternoon Israel time.
Which is six
It
thirty
should
AM
close.
UTC. 1:30 Israel time. What time is it there right now?
Now it's 5:18 past noon.
So 7 hours back at one, 7 hours back. Yeah. So this is it right here.
Yeah, it is the end-to-end network slicing use case meeting. It is. So last time, Imal reminded us that on 21st January, I think, there is a M2 freeze by which the APIs need to be... Mm-hmm.
Right. And January 21, yep. Yeah. And
so we are working towards it.
Okay, good. Okay, let's see. So Amal is in on the call. And I have been working the way of modeling stuff, which I've shown you guys before, and I'm making progress still with the modeling team, and I'll have a dedicated presentation on that later. So I think maybe Oscar's leading a lot of use cases. Let me merge out the stuff that he's leading here. And Zoo is doing the software upgrade. Let me split that off. Oh, shoot. Oops. Why won't it let me select this? You go. Okay. PNS software upgrade. Is there any news there, Zoo?
Sorry, what news?
Yeah, we're just asking how it's going. Is there anything interesting that we should all know about?
Well, it's doing well. It's just the. The review, the SO team review is pretty slow. So we are still trying to get as much in as we can before the Christmas, because after Christmas, then there will be DDF meeting.
Right.
After that, there will be Chinese New Year. So before M4, we really don't have too much time for corporations.
Are you presenting anything at the DDF for... this?
I will discuss with the change management team what need to be present there. So I may present something. It's not decided yet.
Okay. I was on the change management call yesterday, and they were actually talking about, I forgot the name of it. The first topic on their change management thing, but they mentioned the use case thing, which is number 4, and they said 3 and 5 would be pushed out, and 1 and 2 was Lukasz from Orange. Right. Ajay is very busy, so he's the change management use case team isn't really very organized, I feel. But Chris Rapazzelli and Lukasz from Orange are quite active, so they're really helpful.
Did they say what they're going to present?
Yeah, so let me find the page here. Okay, let me see.
Because yesterday I called in, but there was nobody there.
Oh, when did you? I was. Oh, maybe there's a couple of them. I was on the call, and so was Lukasz and stuff. So, let me see. Control loop. Change it here. Okay. So I was talking to Lukasz about, he was talking about, because, you know, I had just had the realization call, and nobody from Change Man was on the call, but I added this information after talking to Lukasz, right? So he was describing to me some of these use cases more. And so as I learned more about those, I come to found that, you know, they're extending AppC and VMC for this Ansible protocol stuff, and that the Ansible server, which is part of CCSDK, would be integrated into AppC, and they're modifying how it's being used by SC. So it's really just test only and no software impact for what Dan Timoney is concerned about. He told me that 3 and 5, the 3 and 5 stuff are going to be kind of nice to haves. They're stretch goals. They're not likely to to make it. And he mentioned the software upgrade. And I said, you know, you're working on this. So if they present anything, of course, I think they would expect you to present something because they're not as involved. But Lukasz said, you know, if they need presentations, he was happy to do something with that. So.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. Okay. This is a meeting that was just on. So let me just. Okay. Let me see. I need to. I'm pushing out on the meetings. I need to do something with them to the left here. Okay. Great. Oscar, is there any news on BulkPM or NetConf? Are you presenting anything at the DDF?
Yes, we have a session related to BulkPM.
Okay, great. Is that going to be loaded to the BulkPM page? I assume you'll load it to that wiki.
Yeah, I will, let's see after the DDF maybe.
Sure. Yeah.
Add some things and so on. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Any other news on the BulkPM or NetConf stuff?
No, nothing in particular.
Okay. All right, so I'll describe some stuff. I just had a meeting where Zhu and I were just on for the PNFDs, SDSC, AAD, and ANA schema modeling. This is off of the plug and play page, work for R6 due to the geolocation stuff. And what we're doing is we're meeting to discuss the evolution of the complex object. So the complex object in ONAP, and think building complex, not simple complex, but you know, simple or complex, but rather it's like a related to a location, right? So it has the physical location, street, city, state, and latitude, longitude, and elevation. this is already in ONAP now, and ANAI points to the complex object and associates it with an XNF. And that location information is tracking the associated location and geolocation of a object. But the modeling team wants to introduce a place object off the root entity to represent the geolocation stuff. And the reason why they chose the word place is because of this GB922 standard from the TM form. So this TM form, GB922, has this information framework thing for a place object, and that's why they chose the word place. So I wouldn't have necessarily chosen the word place, but it's driven from the standard. So they have a model already for a place and the local place and the geographic location, the geographic address, and the local address. So this, they have a model already, and the rest of the document describes, you know, a lot of information about the model and details about that. But in any case, the modeling team itself is starting to look at this and I would expect them, let me try to get the top page here. So the place object is what they're gonna structure this off of. So I think it's gonna be similar to this GB922 structure. And then the question is once they introduce that model, how will they tie it back to the things in the place in the complex object, which is going to be interesting because this already exists in ONAP, right? So I feel there's going to need to be some association work and stuff done there. And then the ANAI already has a lot of ties to using this software already, which will, I think, make things even more interesting to try to get it introduced. And then Jacqueline and I from Ericsson have been looking at the RFC 6225 standard, which describes the geolocation fields. So while ONAP has latitude, longitude, and altitude, there's a lot of other things like latitude uncertainty, longitude uncertainty, altitude uncertainty, and so forth, which we may also want to introduce as well. And then finally, once all that's done and worked out and hashed out, then there's a question of going back to the ETSI-SO0001 standard to introduce the geolocation element and a dedicated geolocation element, because there is a civic address element already, but not a geolocation one. And then introducing it into the PNF registration VES event, which currently right now does not have the any civic address or geolocation type stuff coming into it. So if you look at the base plug and play page in the ANI section here, right now, the VES event reports things and from that it fills in ANI things like the PNF name, equipment type, vendor, model ID, address, MAC address, serial number, but it doesn't fill in anything related to location yet, which is fine. That's something we can introduce later, which is what this point is about. So to make a long story short, we had a meeting today for discussing civic address elements and geolocation information with the modeling subcommittee, with members of the modeling subcommittee. And eventually it will be, eventually will impact the PNF registration VES event for plug and play. But that's going to be an R7 thing for sure. Okay. In R6 also in plug and play, we have, there's been recent, you see the updated page. So I updated the page related to SO. So there's been a proposal to working on this, new thing towards building blocks and there's been presentations made to SO for that. So there's get more detail that will be incorporated into that. So okay. Any questions on any of that? All right. I had a link to the Prague proposals. I'll try to put it in, try to find it and put it in there. Okay. Then also for the 5G service modeling, I've made some progress. I guess I can add a thing, but so if you recall from the presentation I gave a while back, the 5G service creation and modeling use case in R6 is looking at what do we need to do to support an actual 5G service and create a 5G service and to be able to create a 5G network element. I presented, you know, how we have the what do we need to do in modeling, right? So the descriptor model and the VNFD model, what's in ANI. And then I started looking at some of the DGPP standards, notably the NRMs. So the 5G NRM is in 541, in the network resource model. So if you're interested, you can download that standard. And it looks like this. I already have it open. I guess I already have it open. Okay, so it looks like this, and it has all of the classes and their attributes related to it. And I contacted the rapporteur Jingping of this document, and I've been in touch with them to and I asked, well, is there kind of a spreadsheet for this? I think it would be easier than trying to analyze a Word document. I totally understand why they developed it in a Word document, because all of the documents are like that. So she said there wasn't, so I made one. So this is the object class and the description of that object class and the parameters related to that object class. And whether it's in the which NRM it's for. So I started looking at the actual attributes, which I think is a little bit more relevant. So these are the actual parameters that are mentioned in the document. So I feel like there is, I talked to some of the members of the modeling team, just Kevin, or Andy Mayer, right before this call. And he said we could put these into the information model as experimental, which I think might be a good idea. We discussed how they would be onboarded and how they might be stored in the runtime config DB. So it might be useful here to discuss and think about what we might want to introduce. I don't know that, I'm not sure which ones of these we would use sooner rather than later. So my feeling is that some of these, maybe a couple of these might go in ANEI. Most of these are runtime things, so they're not inventory things. So they're not going to go in ANEI, but rather they would go in the runtime config DB, which is a place to store runtime parameters. They would probably be onboarded through maybe a vendor package, or maybe because they're standards driven, maybe predefined. They would also probably be used by the ORAN community as well. So we might want to cross-reference to them to see if we can coordinate. Certainly things that relate to IDs, you know, we might want to have sooner rather than later. Some of these things are ONAP may never care about, but you know, it's possible because they're all standards driven, right? It's hard to anticipate what plugins people might want to use that might want to use some of these things. So I think just so everybody on the 5G use case is aware, I mean, these are the standards parameters, standards driven parameters that have been introduced as the NRM. And so I'm going to probably present this also at the modeling subcommittee to see, but they're going to have even less information, you know, domain knowledge, right? Those aren't people that are necessarily working on 5G stuff, but rather people here have probably a lot of knowledge about 5G. I would suggest we should probably just introduce all of these in the information model as experimental. Those are in the sort of tentative state that they might eventually be used. So that's probably a good starting place. And I also think that they're going to be used eventually, and as experimental, they don't necessarily need to be adopted. It's just putting the model framework in place for when it might need to be used. Okay, so I think one of their suggestions was to put whether we think something should go into ANEI or the runtime config DB. And for me, you know, ANEI is really a place that is tracking. This is something I need to know about for an element coming online. It's a network element that I need to know its existence, and maybe some really basic inventory type information. Its make, its model, its vendor, its serial number. Those to me are inventory type things. So ANEI does have things like IP addresses. So, you know, IP addresses are somewhat relevant. Obviously the identifiers might be relevant. Anything with an identifier, you know, these things might be relevant. Maybe the name, and that's it. I think those are the things that might go into ANEI. Any thoughts from anybody?
Is there any relationship with this that could be in, CDS has something called a data dictionary. There's something that that could be utilized or something.
That's a good point. Let me write that down.
Right, because I mean, the way I understand the data dictionary from URI at this point is, okay, you define the attribute, and then in that entry, it tells you like where or how to get that value. Right, so that if you needed, say, the particular IP address of something, that you would then go to that entry, and it either would have the URL, the you know, the REST call to the particular URL to get it. So I'm wondering if we can somehow.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah, okay. So
it's
just
a thought. Yeah, I think it's something to maybe, you know, explore a little bit, because we got data dictionary, we got runtime DB, and we got ANAI. So it's like, where's, you know, let's not duplicate something somewhere.
Sure,
you know?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, that's a good thought. And I guess I've just been speaking. Let me write some things down. So the 3GPP TS 28.541 and TS 28.540, which are the 5G NRM, the network resource model analysis spreadsheet. And I'll upload the spreadsheet onto the actual service model use case page. So looking at parameters introduced, as you can see, some of it's not done yet either. I still need to finish out these classes on some of these things. And also, Borislav, there is also, you're probably already aware of this, there's also a network slicing NRM in that document as well. So, so we'll also, we have to determine how to bin things, how to classify where parameters go to the CDS data dictionary, or to the ANAI, or to the runtime config DB. And then let's see, presentations made to modeling subcommittee here at the use case subcommittee, or use case realization call, and the 5G use case call to open up discussions. And I think in the modeling subcommittee, it'll be an experimental model, info model introduced. That's what Kevin said, just we can introduce it all from the standards driven stuff at least. And I think I'll probably also go to the ANAI team and ask their opinion of what classification of the ANAI parameters, and see if they think there's anything. So Andy had a good thought. He said things that are related to commissioning, things that you are might need at the installation and commissioning time. Might be things that you might want to think about putting in ANAI. So that's I thought that was a good pointer to how to classify stuff. That was a good thought. Okay. But anyway, that's one of the things that maybe I'll take a first crack at that, because I feel things that should go to ANAI are things like IDs, anything with an ID maybe. And pretty much the rest of it's going to go into these other databases. Bob, do you know, is there a rule of thumb? What's in the CDS data dictionary? I haven't really seen it. What are things that you might want to put in there?
Well, he uses it now, I think, for like instantiation, and then for config management. He did a presentation I'm holding some like every 2 weeks we got some people to talk about model driven ONAP, you know, with Kirin, you know, and and we had him come and talk to us about CDS. And, you know, he, every time I hear his presentation, I pick up more from it, right? But data dictionary from the CDS aspect is really separate, right? So I don't know what Yuri had in mind from a roadmap for that, right? I mean, maybe that's something could even be, you know, maybe that should be ingested and be runtime DB. I don't know, right?
Is this stuff that's kept in this data dictionary, is it persistent? And also, how do you, you know, how can anything write to it? How do you, what's the entries like?
It has a name. I mean, I can.
Is there a recording of this presentation that you mentioned?
Yeah, I do have that. I can send that to you. And there's also a link for his stuff and explains what the data dictionary layout is at this point. Oh, he's got an example there.
Oh, that's great.
Let's see if I can pull it up quick and
that would be useful.
Put it in the chat. Because, yeah, we started looking at it. I mean, and, you know, maybe it can be expanded in some way or something, right?
Right, right.
I can't find it now, of course. Oh, wait, here, CDS. where's the chat? Chat. Okay, that's the link to the CDS, and that in there it has the data model for the layout of the data entry.
Okay, online concepts. Okay.
Because it looks like what you can do is you can put in a, you define the name and everything, and then you can define whether or not it's the default. You could do a REST call or a SQL call, and that's the way I understand it. So now if there's something you want to pull from a database, you can, execute the command. I think it was under the data dictionary tab up there, and then there's a lower down, there's an actual example you can expand on.
So a cyclic graph algorithm, it's right here.
No, I think there should be an example down on the bottom here. Is there?
Okay, let's see, prioritize, interesting.
Yeah, so it's like names, tags, updated by, but...
property sources, input key mapping. So this looks like a pretty standard just sort of database entry thing.
Right there on about expand source.
Ah, I see.
That'll give you an example of one.
Ah, okay. Unit module label. Okay,
and I think they're looking for Frankfurt to, I think they're looking for GUI resources to, create some GUIs around all the stuff with CDS at this point. I mean, they have some, but for some of these, instead of the files, defining them. So like this one's an example for SQL, for that's how you would get it. Where's the source from at the database? It's a SQL call, and what kind of query you would do to get the information.
Okay, but the are there sort of examples of is there a list of parameters, an example of parameters that are actually kept in this thing, or are they just meant to be an index of things that CDS cares about, right?
I think right now it's only what CDS cares about, but I'm wondering if this is, me and Kevin or me and Andy have been talking about this, going, maybe this is something that can be expanded further.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if Yuri's keeping a separate database for this. That's why I was saying, you know, maybe is this something that could be ingested in runtime DB partly, you know. If you need to, this is kind of like more of a data dictionary for resources is the way I kind of see it.
Okay. All right. I'll touch base with Yuri and maybe I can get some more insight into that.
Yeah. I mean, it's
absolutely worth pursuing and trying to figure out. I mean, basically what was happening was we're coming into a situation where I noticed that a lot of use cases are starting to look at how do I introduce parameters that I need for my use case, and well, it's, you know, they don't really belong in ANEI. Where do I put them? So is that kind of there was that kind of concern, and for lack of a better place, a lot of people were putting stuff, in ANEI, and they don't belong there really.
Right.
So.
Yep.
Exactly. And as you see, as we come up to 5G, there's a lot of parameters that we need to introduce or think about introducing. And where'd they go?
Right. And I think Yuri was kind of focusing this on like configuration, you know, for doing configuration changes and that. So, I mean, especially with 5G, if you're going to have a whole bunch of, you know, changing configurations as it matures and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's probably not super crucial right away. I feel these are, you know, we don't have a 5G DU that we need to hook up yet in ONAP. So I think it's probably, we have a little bit of time. That's why it's just a modeling effort in R6, but it takes a lot of time to change stuff and you want to do it right. So it does take a lot of time to introduce model changes in ONAP. So, you know, it might take a little while to get all this in place. anyway,
yeah,
so it's
and
good to...
It kind of gets fed by that CBA, that, you know, the blueprint. Mm-hmm. So when you're onboarding, you get the way, you know, this is my understanding is, you know, so you can onboard that type of parameters and you can onboard it through SDC and it doesn't change because that's where we were talking about it in the ONAP enabled meetings that we've been having is that this way you can onboard it like you do today with SDC, but it's actually, I don't know if it's passed as metadata or it actually includes that CBA file so that SO would know then to use these, that particular CSAR, part of that CSAR, with that CBA file to do the actual work, right? So he's implemented something where you can still onboard with SDC the old way with Tosca, and this is a new Tosca file that's kind of amended in there somehow that now you can have a hybrid where you're not changing SDC, drastically. Yeah. It's still distributed the same way, you know, that SDC distributes artifacts.
Right.
So, but yeah, I think it might be worthwhile looking into it.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's good. Let's see. So I feel like at the end of R6, if I get to a point where I've classified things, whether it's the CDS data dictionary or runtime DB or ANEI, so my feeling is that none of these parameters are absolutely necessary in R6, obviously. So I think we have, but then trying to figure out if any of these are needed in R7 might be good. If anybody has a thought there, I don't know, like we see some things that maybe are related to network slices, you know, network slicing. Maybe the network slicing team is already looking at some of those. And then there's two possible paths, as Bob just mentioned, so that's a good point too. So there's two possible paths that was actually discussed also with the modeling team. You can onboard the stuff, you can send it up via the PNF directly, via the PNF registration event. There might be information that gets sent up that way. It might be sent with CM notifies in the VES event. And there might be things that are related also that are predefined to say, you know, load the 3GPP model. So basically, how does it get into ONAP is sort of a topic as well. The modeling team wanted to know about the information flows and where they might be used. So there are some architectural information flows. I might still have some pages up for it. Yeah, no. But anyway, there's a bunch of information flows here. All right, there's a bunch of information flows for onboarding and runtime config DB and SDC distribution service distribution and instance SO service instance and so forth. So there might be flows that are related to there that you might want to define and point people to. Okay, but I feel starting with the standards is pretty conservative. In other words, you can't really get in trouble doing that. It'll apply to all vendors. I don't know that anybody will object to starting it as a base. Certainly with the standards, I feel everybody is kind of driven by these standards anyway. ORAN harmonization, usage of the 3GPP. In the ORAN standards, okay. Somebody told me they might be used there as well, and we want to consider which GPP parameters ORAN cares about. I suspect they'll care about everything, but and when they might have an opinion of. One to incorporate parameters and give some things a higher priority. Okay. So my next step is I'm going to finish the mapping stuff. I just need to look through and see that I got all the parameters. I think I got them all, but I'll look through again. I need to finish these classes, and then I will take a first crack at these impacted components. So, any other thoughts on the service modeling stuff?
The templates are not here, right? In the ANAI.
The templates are not here in ANAI.
The SST, network slice SST, or I'm just curious if they have anything to do with any of these parameters. And I might be missing some of the parts and pieces of the Excel spreadsheet. Are you going to put that Excel spreadsheet?
Yeah. Okay. It's still a work in progress. So when I finish the spreadsheet, I'll put it in this use case. It will be in this wiki here. It will be in this wiki right here. Just copy here and put it here. So this is where it all will be once I'm done. So you'll be able to get, it's the main output of this use case. There is already the presentation that I just showed you. This presentation here, right, is at this wiki already. But the spreadsheet's not there because I'm still working on it. And you mentioned a template. I didn't maybe quite understand your question, Ajman.
I think in regards to the network, slicing, one of the parameters is the SST. That is that includes the instance and plus the I need to check my notes, you know, like, I was just curious, you know, like, if that mm-hmm. parameter is also
the SST.
Between this list, because in the other tab or the Excel spreadsheet that you are showing, I didn't see anything regarding uh-huh, uh-huh. that, but that it that's why I was wondering. You know?
Let me see. I haven't done, because I know the network slicing team was doing stuff. I didn't do too much with network slicing. Let me see. Do you know if it's one of these objects, network slice or slice subset or profile or slice profile? They're all on a couple of pages. Let me see. Page 88.
Sure.
Page 88.
If you did a search for SST, I wonder what comes up.
SST.
Just curious, you know, like it might be irrelevant, or it's not irrelevant, but it might not be like attribute or something like that. I'm just curious how. And I apologize, my connection is going on and off. That's why, you know, like parts and pieces of the screen that you are sharing, I'm unable to see because of issues on my end.
Ah, okay. So the NSSAI list represents a list of the SNSSAI managed object supporting, comprised of the SSTs and an optional slice differentiator field. This is an S. So let me see. Oh, here it is. Okay. Yeah. So it's in this NSSAI list parameter structure.
Okay, and again, the Zoom is connecting, but that's okay. So
there's a list. It's covered in the SNSSAI list parameter. But this is, again, this is if this is something that's needed by the network slicing team, then I would suggest that you try to fast track this into the or maybe you already have into the modeling group. To make sure they know that this is something that's needed.
Because as I understand from the documentation, the mm-hmm. the service type is actually going to designate if it is an EMBB slice or URLLC slice and mm-hmm. whatever type of a slice. But I bet somewhere it needs to be specified and used accordingly, and ANAI might also have to use it. Like, imagine, you know, like you are going to set up a new slice or something like that. Mm-hmm. You might have to look into, maybe for the sake of prioritizing the resources that are available
for
the new slice. So that comes to my mind, you know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're at time, I believe. Any last closing thoughts from anybody? Oh, Michaela just joined. Hi, Michaela. Michaela, can you hear us? You just joined at the very end of the meeting. So you can listen to the recording. I'll upload the recording. Just a quick recap that for everybody anyway. So we went over at M2, the things we need to do on M2. We went over the PlugFest and the PlugFest recording. We talked about the runtime DB. Borislav gave us an update on the network slicing proposal. Zoo and Oscar gave us some updates on the PNF software upgrade and BulkPM. I gave us a quick update on the plug and play work. And then we talked about the 5G service modeling use case. And we went over the 3GPP 28.540 model that I'll be also presenting at the modeling team as well for the parameters that we might want to eventually incorporate into the information model at some point. So that was a quick recap of the meeting. Michaela, you can I'll upload the recording for today's meeting. You can listen to it and hear what we talked about. Okay, great. Thank you, everybody. I'll end the meeting here. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.